And if that is you, even now, know that Jesus comes to set the prisoner free, to proclaim freedom to the captives. God did not cause those things to happen, but he promises release. And yet often it's the Lord who closes the doors that we might want to go through. And Acts chapter 16 reports an instance of this. It tells how the Apostle Paul and his companions were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And you might think that this would be exactly the kind of door that God would open. But no. Then they came to the border of Mysia and tried to enter Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus, we're told in Acts 16, verse 7, would not allow them to. I grew up watching Star Trek on BBC One, and this feels like the kind of force field in front that would prevent the crew of the Starship Enterprise from going any further. But probably it was just an overwhelming sense amongst Paul and his companions that that what they were doing was just not right, and that in itself was the force of the Spirit preventing them. Perhaps they wondered why, when it had seemed like the right thing to do, and they'd made the journey to a certain point before being turned back. Wouldn't God want them to go and preach the good news of Jesus anywhere? But then in the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." They went, basically, in the opposite direction from the one that they'd been trying to go. They went in the opposite direction to places like Philippi and Thessalonica and enjoyed a fruitful ministry, as evidenced by the letters that Paul wrote to those churches. God had prevented them from going in one direction because he had a better plan in the opposite direction. More than one door closed on them, but other doors opened for effective ministry. Let me tell you about a door that seemed to be opening a while back for our church, which now seems to have closed. And it's not one that it was possible to spread really much more widely than our leadership team. But as those of you who have been part of our church for a while will know, it's coming up to 12 years since our church took the decision to move out of the Well Street building on Sundays and into the Royal Latin School Hall initially. And that's where you were meeting when I arrived to be your pastor. And the hope at the time, 12 years ago, was that we would have a new church building on a new site within 5 years. Well, you can do the maths there, can't you? It's a fair few years longer than that. Easier said than done. Nearly 9 years ago, we moved here into the recently opened Lace Hill Academy. And we've made our home on this estate as a church. We've got involved in things locally on the estate, such as, as Lynn mentioned earlier, the Lace Hill Manor Care Home, to which some of us are going this afternoon, the Lace Hill Community Fun Day, going back about 8 years, I think, now, doing occasionally things like carol singing with residents on the estate, and basically doing what we can in this part, as well as doing stuff in other parts of the town and beyond. Wouldn't it be great, thought our leadership team with myself, if we could have a new building on Lace Hill? And we knew that there was one remaining space that wasn't built on, still there actually, and that is the space behind Lace Hill Manor Care Home, which was scheduled for a new medical centre for Swan Practice. And about 4 years ago now, three of us met with members of the practice, actually I think it was a little over 3 years ago, and we thought, let's just knock on the door and see if anything happens and find out if there might be any land left when they had done what they were doing for the possibility of a church building. And three of us, including Jane Butcher and myself, met with members of Swan Practice. It was still COVID era, so masks were on in the room in which we met. And we discovered that actually they were very open to the possibility of some sort of partnership, of us doing something together. There was likely to be some land left, which could be big enough for a new church building. It seemed to be a door beginning to open. Two of us met with the property developer for the site, another positive meeting. And we all agreed to stay in touch as their plans unfolded to see if we might be a part of that. And we didn't share news of this more widely because, to be honest, we didn't want to build up hopes for something that would need a miracle to happen, let's be honest. But then again, we know that our God is in the miracle business, isn't he? He is there. And we also knew that if you don't dream dreams, they don't come true. But if you do dream dreams, they just might. Now, if you have followed the saga of the new medical center, you will know that there have been many twists and turns. It was meant to have been built by now, possibly last year or the year before. I lose track of time in that. And there have been all sorts of issues with funding and getting approval and all of that sort of jazz. But then, about 6 weeks ago, as you may know, news was published of plans for the centre, together with a care home for young adults with complex needs, with no apparent room for us. And we checked it out, and it does seem that the door has closed on that possibility. Is it the Lord who has closed it? Well, if it is, then no amount of pushing against is going to reopen it, is it? But if it isn't the Lord who has closed it, it may still not be God's will for that door to open. Now, for those of us who have invested in this, not too much, I have to say, because as you will know, if you've been in Wall Street for the past 20 years, there have been other false dawns as well. But I can't help feeling disappointed because the possibilities for mission and ministry on that site, which is loosely speaking between what is now Starbucks and the site the other side in Lacehill Manor Care Home, that's kind of where we might have got. The possibilities for mission and ministry would have been awesome. And yet, we knew Buckingham needs a new medical centre. And, of course, there are young adults who need a care home, adults with particular needs. And if God has closed a door on that possibility, there'll be other doors for us to push and see if they will open. I mean, that could be working in some way with Swan Practice. It could be for a new building somewhere else. It could even be in reinvesting in the Well Street building with all of the challenges that we face there. But I want to say only after full consultation with our church community, not at the whim of maybe a few people. It needs to be something we do together. But in all of this, we need to remember that whilst many are the plans in human hearts, it's the Lord's purposes that will prevail. So having talked about all of this, and we did decide at our last elders' meeting that it was right to share it at the appropriate time, and today, to be honest, seems the right time. Even though I'm sort of building you up to something that you may not have known about and something that perhaps is never going to happen. But let me take us to Matthew 7, and especially to verse 7, which, you know, I would like for it to be a verse for us to remember, especially in the coming year. Did we bring them today? Wendy's got some bookmarks. So we'll give those to you later on to take away and put in your Bibles or pin to your notice board or wherever you put these sorts of things in a place that you can see it and remember. But you've always heard it. You've already heard the verse, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And it sounds so simple, doesn't it, when you read it like that? Just ask. Ask God and you'll get what you ask for. Just look and you'll find the answer. Just knock and God will open up his will to you. Instant satisfaction in a consumer society. But this isn't how Matthew intends us to hear the words of Jesus. He writes in Greek, in the present continuous tense, and I think the New Living Translation in English gets the sense better than the New International Version, although it's not quite as hard to memorize. But in the New Living Translation, it says, keep on asking, keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. In other words, Jesus isn't saying that we simply ask once and get instant results. I mean, sometimes we will ask once, won't we? And God, in his grace, answers instantly. Perhaps all of us have experienced that sort of answer to our prayers. But how often is that? In my experience, it usually takes much longer than that. And I think there are various reasons for that, but one of those is that Jesus is calling us into a relationship with Father God rather than treating him as a wish-fulfilling slot machine. You know, put in the right prayers, get the right answers out. He is calling us to trust Father God, even or especially when things don't go the way that we would want. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Don't give up too easily. Persevere. Trust God and God's purposes. I love that in English, the first word of Matthew 7:7 in the NIV gives us an acronym for what comes next. Ask. A for ask, just in case you can't get it, but you should do. A for ask, S for seek, K for knock. It's all there, isn't it? So even if you don't remember the verse in its entirety, just remember that one word in the coming year, ask. And that may lead you to the rest. Ask, seek, knock. It helps to make it memorable, doesn't it? So I'd like us to remember that word and to be asking God in the coming year. Like the newborn baby dependent on its mother, we should completely depend upon God. And to ask is a way in which we express that. Asking questions is a way in which we learn more of God and God's purposes. And we might say, Lord, where do you want us to be? Lord, what do you want us to do? Sometimes the answer to these questions is already found in the Bible. I mean, we know, for example, that Jesus calls us to feed the hungry and give the thirsty a drink and welcome the stranger and clothe those who need it. And tend the sick and visit those who are in prison, whether literally or prisoners of circumstance. We know that he calls us to share the good news. But we can't necessarily do all of these things at once. So we might ask, Lord, what are you calling us to do right now? This can involve knocking on doors and asking the Lord to see if he says yes or no, or maybe not yet. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, there's an interesting story about King David and his army who are pursuing an Amalekite raiding party who have captured the wives and children of some of David's army, including his own wives and children. And we're told there that David found strength in the Lord his God. Even in the heat of the moment, he did not assume immediately that it was God's will to go after them. He inquired of the Lord. He asked of the Lord. He said, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" And the answer came back, "Pursue them. You will succeed in the rescue." David knocks on the door and it opens to him, perhaps not quite instantly, but with a little bit of effort, going after those who have been taken away. He is successful. But there are other times when David forgets to ask God and things do go badly wrong. So we might bear that in mind as we ask, as we maybe are tempted to just plow on ahead without consulting, without considering God's will. I wonder sometimes, are we slow to ask God because we fear what God might ask us to do? And it's true, isn't it, that God often calls us to be the answer to our own prayers. But is God really going to answer us in a way that is bad for us? His answer might be no, it may be not now because it's not the right time, but bad for us? Never. Jesus emphasizes this even as he calls us to ask. "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" he says. "Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" The flatbread made daily in the ovens of every household in the land of Jesus could look very like the flat stones on the shore of Lake Galilee. Would a parent who was good, or even a parent who was evil in their actions, trick their child and give them something that was no good? Give them that flat stone instead of the flat bread? Well, of course not. What about a serpent given instead of a fish? Some commentators think that here Matthew is talking of an eel, a fish that looks like a snake. And according to the Jewish law, it's forbidden to eat this kind of fish. Would a parent give to their child something that is wrong to give? Well, no reasonable parent, not even those who perhaps in other ways are evil, would do that. So, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, though we often get it wrong, we often may be evil or sinful in our intents, how much more will our perfect Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Well, of course he will. So, in the coming year, let's be a people who never neglect to ask God for ourselves, for our church, and for God's world. Let's ask for peace in our world. We need to do that, don't we? Let's ask God for his blessing and direction for our church. Let's ask God for guidance, wisdom, healing, deliverance, and everything that we need in our lives. Let's ask because we must depend on God. Let's ask knowing that if we don't get the answer that we want or expect, it's because God has a better plan. Let's ask knowing that God will always give good gifts to those who ask him. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Amen. We're going to sing, and then after singing, when I survey, we can